Hello, Divorce and Beyond family. I've got some exciting news because we have teamed up with Headspace to guide you toward better mental health. With Headspace's meditation, mindfulness tools, and mental health support, you're set for a journey to a happier, healthier you. And there's more, because if you sign up through our exclusive link, you'll enjoy 2 weeks of Headspace membership for free. So don't miss out on this opportunity to embrace your well-being. You can check out the show notes for the link, or just go to divorcebeyond.com/Headspace-Susan, and you'll be able to start your path to peace and joy today. This is just one more way that we can support you on your journey to a better beyond.
Coming up on today's episode of the Divorce and Beyond podcast.
After each divorce, one thing that was the same is I did need to regain my footing. I had to find myself confidence again. I basically had to learn how to live comfortably with my new life.
Hello, and welcome to the Divorce and Beyond podcast. I'm Susan Guthrie, your host. As a top divorce attorney and family law mediator for 30 years, I know what you need to know to get through your divorce, and most importantly, how to move beyond it to thrive and transition to your new future. My experts and I are here to give you the insider view into the process, so listen in for the wisdom and expert information you need on your journey through divorce and beyond. Hello, and welcome to today's podcast. I am Susan Guthrie, your host, and listeners, today we are going to learn from what I'll say are someone else's experiences or mistakes. I have a very generous guest with me today who is going to take her experience of not one, but two divorces that she's been through, and a lot of soul searching and thought that she has put into both her divorce process and, most importantly, her healing and journey beyond divorce, as she wrote her very first book, which is out. It's called The Wrong Calamity. And my guest is an author, teacher, and writing coach. Her name is Marcia Jacobson, and she's in New York, and she's joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, and I am so looking forward to this conversation that we're going to have today, because it's, first off, perfectly in the line with divorce and beyond. You're kind of the epitome of divorce and beyond. And because you've been through the process now a couple of times, you've learned, I think you said, we talked about, through both of those experiences, but you also went through what I always find when I talk to authors to be a transformational experience when they distill down their experience into a book, into trying to share their journey and, you know, what I'm always talking about, those golden nuggets with readers. And you've done that. Your book has launched. We were just talking, and you're finding a lot of, you know, great success and outreach as a result of the book. Tell people a little bit. You said that you're speaking, you're being asked to speak about it a lot. You're talking to book groups.
Oh, I'm talking to book clubs. So many readers. This gives me goosebumps every time it happens. So many readers have contacted me through my website and told me just what a profound impact it has had on them. And I mean, so many have said, I think I'm going to be okay now. This gives me a lot of hope. I'm being asked to speak at conferences and very graciously by you on Divorce and Beyond. It's really been quite something.
Well, and that's the power of sharing our experiences, right? Somebody today, I was just talking to them, and they said, Susan, you know, you're not actively practicing as a divorce attorney anymore. Why do a divorce podcast? And I said, well, I do have 33 years of knowledge and experience, both personally as a divorced person and as a, you know, my current husband, as a stepmom and a second marriage and all that, but 30 some odd years of being a divorce attorney and mediator. And I want to share that. And Same here, right? You took your experience, distilled it down into your wonderful book, and I love hearing that people are resonating with it. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show. We're going to talk about some of what you have identified maybe as missteps or realizations that you came to through your own journey that you share with people. But I think it's probably helpful, I know it usually is in these episodes, to hear a little bit of the backstory of how you came to writing the book and what brought you in your life's journey to feel that you needed to sit down and write a book about what had happened for you.
As you said, I had two marriages, and I'll say one was very, very bad. One was very, very wonderful. The marriages and the divorces and the aftermaths couldn't have been more different. After each divorce, one thing that was the same is I did need to regain my footing. I had to find myself confidence again. I basically had to learn how to live comfortably with my new life. I found some techniques along the way that I'm going to be sharing. And one of them, I'll just drop it here, is a lot of what I did, I feel was successful because I spent so much time talking to myself about what was going on. And I'll sort of build on that as I go. But in terms of my backstory, I was raised by parents who taught me to believe that I was worthless. Their gospel actually was, you're not someone who can be choosy. And so I believed it. And in believing it, I kept undermining myself. If I did something good, I thought, oh, that was just a fluke. You know, if I did something bad, I was like, yeah, that's me. That's the way I do it. I went to college. I think it was probably preordained that I was going to fall under the spell of a guy who knew I was a pushover when he saw one. You know, I was so needy for attention. He paid a lot of attention to me. I actually thought that from all the attention he was paying in me, he saw something in me that no one had ever seen before. But actually, what he saw in me was something that nobody ever had looked for before. And that was my neediness and my ability to be manipulated. I knew at the time when he proposed that I shouldn't marry him. I actually saw a sharp vision of myself in a coffin and the lid closing and snapping shut. I heard the noise of the lock when he proposed. And because I saw no way out and because I thought I couldn't be choosy, I agreed to marry him and even to move to Japan with him, 9,000 miles away from anyone I might have turned to if there had been any problems. Unexpectedly in Japan, I got a job, a fun job working at Mattel Toys Southeast Asia. I had successes. I became a little more aware of sort of the good things I could do. And as I did, he became more abusive, so much so that when we got back to America, after the 5 years in Japan, I escaped from him with my girls, running away from the police in a cop car chase. It was horrible. Yeah. He stalked me for years. He kidnapped my girls. While I was fending him off and dealing with a serious injury that kept me hospitalized for 4 months, I went to business school. I got my MBA. Through that, I met my second husband. I had it all. I had a glorious marriage. I had self-confidence. I had a wonderful career. I was someone who knew I could be choosy. My second husband and I were both people who could be choosy, and we had chosen well. Very many years later into that second marriage, my second husband recovered memories that he had buried in childhood of being abused in probably all the ways you can imagine from the time he was 5 until in his teens. Our marriage could not survive the PTSD. I lost my marriage, my career, a lot of important friendships, even some relatives. I was shattered. I had vicarious trauma, not the trauma of my own loss, but I knew what had happened to him, and they became my horrible memories too. And that's where I started, in the aftermath, figuring out and becoming, you know, once again, someone who could have a good life, who was confident, who could live happily in the aftermath.
Yeah, what a journey. And I think it's, you know, so significant that you say and clearly had two very, very different relationships, marriages, yeah, and two very, very different divorces. Yet you said, as you were telling your story, that the aftermath, as you call it, was the same in a certain way, in that you needed to get your footing back underneath you, right? In this new but unknown beyond. And right, each time I would imagine it was an unknown beyond, even though you had been there once before by the time you got divorced the second time.
I mean, that's a really important point. I'm glad you raised that. The second marriage was so great. I mean, in the first marriage for years, I was dealing with being stalked. I mean, my daughter's coats were stolen in the middle of a winter day. The kidnapping, breaking into my apartment while I was at work, you know, and frightening the kids and scaring away my babysitters. I mean, that's what was happening in the first marriage. In the second marriage, it couldn't have been better. We were both heartbroken, that we just wanted so hard to come out the other end together. And if anybody knows anything about, you know, if any of your listeners know anything about PTSD, the numbers aren't great. It's not so easy for relationships to survive. But we really focused on taking care of each other. He was a fabulous stepfather, and he was a fabulous ex-stepfather. It was a whole different thing. In the aftermath of that marriage, I couldn't find my way to places that I knew how to drive to. I my eating, my sleeping, I mean, everything was thrown off. That was the same in both. And I was very fearful when it happened the second time, because it had taken me somewhere between 20 and 30 years, depending on where you start the clock, to find my resourcefulness, to find my resilience, my sure-footedness. And I felt like, oh my God, I'm all the way back at the beginning. But no, it proved durable. It didn't take nearly that much time the second time. So, I mean, that was a big difference.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, it's like muscle memory, maybe, like they say, yeah, right? Once we've learned a skill, even if it fades a bit, that the power comes back in our biceps when we flex them again.
That's right.
More quickly.
Like riding a bike, yeah.
Exactly, right? We don't complete, although my husband loves to tell the story of the last time I rode a bike, and I did great right up until the last moment when I tried to get off, and that's when I fell.
Oh, no.
I tripped over the side of the bike. But anyway, you know, you mentioned, I was just thinking about, and it brought a visual to my mind. You mentioned talking to yourself as one of the tools that helped you, I'm assuming post-second divorce, maybe as you were trying to get your footing, yeah, and get your feet back under you. And it made me think of, you know, I live in Chicago. We have a lot of people walking around on the street here that are talking to themselves. And I don't know that that's what you mean.
No, it's not. Maybe I did it. I did. I don't think it was part of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. No, here's what happened. I realized that I started thinking about my aftermath, particularly in the second marriage, not in the first, that this was a transition. This horrible way I felt, this incompetent way, this just total disorientation, crying at nothing. I mean, all of that, that was not where I was going to stay. I was convinced of that after my first marriage. In the second marriage, I realized you've been through a lot of transitions. I mean, that's what life is. It's one transition after another. You know, you go to a new school, you that's a big transition. I went from being someone kidless to a parent. You know, I went from a Midwesterner to an East Coaster to someone who lived in Japan and back again. You know, lots of transitions. And this was a transition. And the one decision I did make is I wanted to be intentional about it. If I was transitioning from the person I was before, and for me in the second marriage, that had been a long, happy marriage, and I had been absolutely my best self in that marriage. So if I wasn't going to be that married person with that best self, and now I was going to have the sadness of that loss even in my background, my intention was I wanted to be a person who, even with that sadness, and even single, if that's the way it played out, you know, I would be someone who knew I was competent, who knew I had skills, who knew that no person is an island. I had friends. I had people who would be there for me. And the one thing I was particularly, two rules I made for myself. One is I was going to listen to myself when I had good instincts. And I was going to talk to myself about how I was doing. I don't know why I made those rules. I did stick to them. But what I realized afterwards is I had changed my whole narrative, my inner narrative about what kind of person I am. My narrative now is that I'm certainly not a superpower, you know, a person with superpowers. But I am someone who is competent. I can get myself out of trouble. If I can't do it myself, I can find people who will help me or other resources. I can and do have a very rich life and a very satisfying one. And I am single. I am single at this point. And so I think it was the whole changing of the narrative. So now, if I make a mistake, it's like, yeah, I made a mistake. People do it. You know, it's not like, yeah, that's who I am. And when I do something good, it's like, it's not like, oh, that was just a fluke. It's all of that is gone.
It's such a wonderful, you know, way to approach changing your inner narrative by having a conversation with yourself, right? I've thought of, and we've talked about on the podcast, journaling, where you might be doing something similar, but actually sitting down and talking to yourself. I think you said when we were talking about this before that you did it in the mirror, where you would actually have a conversation with yourself.
I can't tell you how many times I spoke in the mirror, you know, and I would celebrate my successes. I mean, celebrating my successes might be looking in the mirror and saying, you did good, kid. You know, I mean, that's
bravo to me.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And how we speak to ourselves. I saw something not long ago that said, you know, you wouldn't say, don't say something to yourself you wouldn't say to someone else, right? Like you don't, but we do that all the time, right? We are very harsh to ourselves.
I think of it as we have a critic sitting on this shoulder, you know, and this is, and I found this when I was writing, I had to silence that critic on my shoulder saying, what a dumb sentence.
I can't believe you wrote that.
This critic on my shoulder who would say, I can't believe you said that to him. Or honestly, this is what you're wearing today. You know what I mean? Anything like
that. Can't do better than that. Yeah, we're very harsh on ourselves.
And that's what I was constantly thinking. You know, it's like I'd put my coffee cup down in some room and I'd wander to another one. I'm like, oh, where's my cup? I'm always doing this. It's like, people do this. And I don't always do it. It's a coffee cup.
I can find it. Or get another cup of coffee. Life is rich.
That's right. Life is rich.
Hey, Divorce and Beyond listeners. I've got a quick but exciting update for you. I'm so excited to say that the podcast is now available on Audible. Yes, where you listen to all your ebooks, you can now also listen to your Divorce and Beyond episodes. And to celebrate, we've got a special offer for you. You get 1 month free of Audible Plus. So to take advantage of that, just go to the show notes. Or even better, we have on the website an entire page of books that were written by all our many experts. You can go to the divorceandbeyondpod.com website, go to Beyond Reading, and you're going to find all the books that have been written by our experts, books like Christina McGee's Parenting Apart and Bill Eddy's Biff and Splitting. So whatever the book is, go find it there, download Audible, and we know that sometimes you don't want a hard copy book on display for everyone to see. So whether it's for privacy or convenience, you can listen to the books and the podcast all in one place on Audible. So take advantage of this fantastic offer. Keep your journey of learning and empowerment going privately and conveniently. Go to divorceandbeyondpod.com and go to Beyond Reading. Stay tuned for more from Marcia Jacobson, author of The Wrong Calamity. To hear her top tips for thriving through and beyond your divorce, taken from her own two very different experiences of divorce.
I don't know how this started, but I started making up fake newspaper headlines, like the old-fashioned newspaper headlines, more than the online ones. And at the end of each day, I would think back on my day before I went to bed, and I would write a headline or more for it. Woman goes to movie with friend, comma, survives. That's one of them.
If you're enjoying this episode, be sure to check out last week's show with my friend Aaron Levine, the co-founder and CEO of legal tech wonder Hello Divorce, as she shares how Hello Divorce is helping people navigate this difficult time of divorce with tech and personalized support. There's a reason that Fast Company just named Hello Divorce as one of their most innovative companies of 2024 because they are changing the world one divorce at a time. So find out more by listening to last week's episode.
This is a normal life transition that nobody should ever have to stay in an unhappy or an unhealthy relationship just because they fear for their safety or bankruptcy. It just isn't what we want for ourselves, our children, or our families.
And now we return to today's show.
You know, that conversation and that inner dialogue is one of the ways that I think you said you undermined sort of your post-divorce recovery. But there were other ways, I think, that you've shared. And that you want to share so that other people, you know, you've heard me say it on the podcast. You've very kindly said that you've listened to the podcast, which I greatly appreciate. And, you know, I'm always saying awareness is the beginning of everything. And I think that's one of the great gifts of what you're sharing was as you share your journey, others will hear. I know people are out there listening right now saying, oh, my God, that's so me. I do that all the time. So what are the other ways or some other ways that you undermined yourself?
One big one is it took me a while, but I started to realize that I would be in a situation or even just myself trying to decide what to do. And I would get this little click of something's wrong here or no, that's not a good idea. And when I say click, I mean, it would be just the quickest inner thought as though I were saying it outside as part of a conversation about, is this what I should do? But it would just be like this instinct that would come and I would brush right past it and I would do the wrong thing. I mean, let's think back to that coffin, yeah. Right? I mean, that was a lot more than a click about this is not a good idea. But you know, there were so many things where I would say, you know what, I overate a lot. I spent a lot of time overeating in, you know, after my divorces. Either I wouldn't eat or I would eat double. I mean, my eating was all off. And I would be fine. I would be full. I would have had a nice dinner. I wouldn't be in the kitchen anymore. And I'd go on the way to the kitchen and I'd go, this is not a good idea. And I would just, in less time than it took me to articulate that sentence just right now, mm-hmm. I would get that click, but I wouldn't intervene on myself. I wouldn't say, you're right, and turn around and
listen to yourself. So it's not just the conversation with yourself, it's actually hearing what you're saying.
It was the actual paying attention. And I kind of made two vows to myself. One of them was, vow is kind of a strong word, but one of the things I really try to honor is I try not to stifle my generous instincts sometimes, you know. And another thing is really pay attention to those clicks, because I will every once in a while, it'll come as a click and not as a better decision. And now I actually do pay attention. It's on me. If I keep walking to the kitchen now, it's because I made an active decision to do it, and I own it, but it almost never happens anymore, you know, so.
There's that awareness piece. I love it. But that's, you know, I think we go into when we're especially post a traumatic experience like a divorce or something like that, we almost go on a little bit of autopilot where it's very easy to find our feet heading toward, I'm an ice cream person. I can find my feet headed toward the freezer for that little bit of comfort and pleasure that a couple of scoops of ice cream are going to show me. But you're 100% correct. As my feet are walking down that hallway toward the kitchen, toward that freezer, that click happens. And I know I probably don't need a second bowl of ice cream for the day if I've had one already. So I love that. I think that those conversations, both internal and external, out in the mirror are so helpful. And I know you mentioned one more thing for me, and I don't want to miss talking about this in this episode, because I think it will really resonate with those who are listening, is because you've talked about with me the fact that it's really important to recognize that time post-divorce is a transition. And you mentioned this a little bit earlier too, but that it's not what the rest of your divorce or what the rest of your life is going to be. It's a moment in time, just like the divorce. I'm talking a lot in the show about how divorce is just a moment in time.
It's a moment, yeah.
Yeah. So is that initial period right after the divorce. And right. I think you learned about that in your experience.
I came up with some little tricks for myself that I can't tell you where they came from. I don't know where they came from. But one of them I called tiny experiments. And I decided that one way, I couldn't imagine myself like waking up and being that person that I wanted to be after the transition. And I was like, well, okay, I'm just going to do very tiny experiments. And maybe what I learned from each one of them might even be more important than the end result of what happens with each of those experiments. So what's a tiny experiment? You know, it was just really baby steps. Like I had really isolated myself, and that's, talk about undermining myself. Yeah. I would make myself, one of my promises, listen to myself when I'm doing these things. I would arrange to see a movie or whatever with a friend, which, I mean, even getting dressed was a chore, but I would not let myself call and say, I need to cancel, right? And I would do it. I actually would lean toward, like, not saying, let's have coffee or let's have lunch, because I would lean toward things we could do, like a movie, like puttering around in shops, that would give us something to talk about so we didn't have to be talking about my divorce. And I didn't have to be answering, you know, what, God love them, I mean, what friends really care about. It's like this, how are you? And that's what I wanted to get away from. So I would do that. There would be times when I felt dumpy or unlovable. I would make myself put on clothes that I used to feel good in, wash my face, and here's the mirror, and look in the mirror and say, well, that's better, you know? And maybe I'd go get a manicure, you know. Right in my sweats.
Never underestimate the power of a manicure.
Never underestimate the power of a manicure. And if you're in big trouble, then you need a pedicure too.
Pedicure too, yes.
So I would do that. Now, I'll be very open about this. Some of those experiments worked and some of them didn't. And if they worked, you know, like I mentioned before, I would celebrate the win. And one of the big wins is each time I tried an experiment, the next time I did it again, I did it all the time. The next time I did it again, I was starting from a higher threshold. I had a firmer foundation under my feet. Now it might be a bigger risk and I was up for it. But sometimes they didn't work. And if one of those experiments didn't work, I'm back to talking to myself. And I would say, well, that's what experiments are. And experiments are to learn from. And you learn. You're not ready for this yet. You'll try it again after a while. Give yourself some time and then try it again after a while. In a way, those unsuccessful experiments became successful because there was a lesson. And the other thing I did, and this is really idiosyncratic, I hope your listeners can find anything in it to relate to, but I don't know how this started, but I started making up fake newspaper headlines, like the old-fashioned newspaper headlines, more than the online ones. And at the end of each day, I would think back on my day before I went to bed, and I would write a headline or more for it. What are these fake newspaper headlines? Woman goes to movie with friend, comma, survives. You know, that's one of them. Kid acts up. Mom doesn't burst into tears. Woman stays in bed all day. Trees stay rooted in the firmament. They were funny. I actually was finding some fun in myself through that. And I don't even know how the first one started, but when it did, I laughed at myself and I was like, when was the last time I laughed? You know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago? I don't know. I also had this very goofy image. And again, I don't know where this came from either too. And that was an image of a swamp. And that was like being in a swamp. And it might have come from when I went with my daughters and a friend and we were in the Okefenokee Swamp. Mm-hmm. And there were these little signposts that were, you know, like in the swamp that said rocks, stay away, rocks are here or something.
Sure.
Maybe it was from that, but I just did not want to land in that swamp. And I would say to myself, you know, if the trends were negative on the headlines, it would be like, yeah, you're in the swamp again. You know, this happens when you're in the swamp. You've been in it before. You always get out. You're going to get out. And I think between the headlines, the experiments, I just found that I could be much more celebratory and feel solid about the successes and much more philosophical about what before I would have considered, you know, losses or but just the steps backward. Yeah. You know, the steps forward just really felt solid, and the steps backward, I was just philosophical about them. What isn't two steps forward, one step backward, huh? Everything is. Come on, kid, you know? And so that's sort of how I did it.
I love your author brain is definitely showing in your metaphors and your headlines, but there's so much wisdom in these, you know, I'll call them tiny coping mechanisms that you created and are sharing. And in fact, this is just a small, tiny dose of the many, many tips and tools and insights that you share in your book. I want to be sure that we let people know how they get the book. And you have a very generous offer for listeners. So hang on for just a minute, everyone. You're going to find out how you might get a Kindle copy of the book. But first, you had a couple of resources you wanted to share with my listeners.
I did. I have three resources that I want to mention. One of them is a really good website. They found me. I didn't find them. And they asked me to write a piece for their blog. And the website is called Out of the Storm. And it is a website for people who have been traumatized. There's a lot of resources. Actually, my book is now listed as one of the
Wonderful.
Resources. Yeah, that was very moving. In their blog posts, the blogs are written by a wide variety of people with all different, sharing their experiences and expertise about how they found their footing. Another one is a book called Heartbreak. And the author is Florence Williams. It came out in 2022. And it's been a real interesting read for me. It's a combination memoir and very accessible science about what actually is happening in our bodies in the aftermath of a divorce. She wrote this in the aftermath of her divorce. She takes us through her journey of coming out the other side. And along the way, she's a journalist. She knows what she's doing. She gets a lot of science. And it's very absorbable and approachable. And the third one that I want to mention, which I am personally so grateful for in my own life, I tried therapy several times, and several times it didn't work because I had the wrong therapist. And late in the game, I discovered Kenwood Psychological Services. And what that is, it's amazing. It's like a matchmaker between people looking for a therapist and the therapist. And I learned it because a friend of mine who is a therapist casually mentioned it to me that he got a lot of clients through Kenwood, and always the match was fabulous. And there's no charge for that service.
Oh, that's wonderful. I know people have struggled with that sometimes, is finding the right match. So I love that. Now, listeners, of course, I'll have links to all of those resources in the show notes. But I do want to make sure, because I just teased it a minute ago, and you have very generously offered to gift, I think, 10 Kindle copies of your book to
yes.
listeners. So if you could let them know how they might be one of those lucky 10 people.
Okay, well, it's not going to be a lottery. The first 10 people who contact me through my website and mention Divorce and Beyond podcast and say that you want a Kindle, the first 10 people who ask for the Kindle and mention the podcast, I will gift you a Kindle copy of the book. Yes. And you can read it on a lot of You don't need a Kindle. I'm sure you all know it. You can read it on a lot of devices.
Oh, you can read it on your phone, folks.
You can read. I read them on my phone all the time.
I do.
Another thing that I will do is, on a mutually agreeable schedule, if you are in a book club and that book club takes up my book, The Wrong Calamity, I will Zoom in for a meet the author to the first 20 people who contact me and say you would like that. And again, it's contact through my website.
And your website is?
My website is Marcia with an S-H, MarciaJacobsonAuthor.com.
.com. Always the good ending to a website.
Always.com. And you can contact me through there, MarciaJacobsonAuthor.com.
All right, listeners. So I will have a link directly to Marcia's website in the show notes, as well as all of these wonderful offers that she is giving. You will also have a link directly to the book if you are not one of the lucky people who get one of the free 10 free Kindle copies. And I just encourage you all, Marcia just gave you a little idea of the wonderful tips that she has pulled from her journey and, you know, things that are actionable in the moment, which I know for all of you are just so helpful as you're going through this journey yourselves. Marcia knows herself. She went through it. She went through it not once, but twice. And so thank you so much for joining me and joining my listeners and sharing your insights. This is going to be one of those episodes I know that was really going to be helpful in the moment, instantly to people who listen to it. And I so appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Susan. And thank you to your listeners for listening. It's moving and a great honor to have been invited to speak with you and your listeners.
Thank you again. Thank you for joining me today on the Divorce and Beyond podcast. I hope you found some information and inspiration to help you on this journey. Please join me every Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for a new episode. And if you like the show, please take the time to subscribe and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. You can also find more information on the website at divorceandbeyondpod.com, where you'll find links to the YouTube channel, transcripts of the episodes, and other bonus content. So I'll see you next week to help you move through your divorce and beyond.